Hey, it's Myron Metcalf. I know you're used to hearing me join the show to explain what's happening in the world of college basketball or hosting every Sunday morning on ESPN Radio, or maybe even reading my words about everything Minneapolis and the Star Tribune. But you are going to be hearing different voices hosting ESPN Daily in the coming weeks, and I'm lucky enough to be one of them. Helping this podcast do what it's always done. Tell the best sports stories in audio, day in and day out. Thanks for listening. Mike Farrell, you are the producer and director of the latest E60 feature called Little Choices, and it's about Toronto Maple Leaf center Ryan O'Reilly, his mother Bonnie O'Reilly, and a choice she made that saved someone's life. There's a lot to unpack in this story, but before we get started, for folks who might not know much about Ryan O'Reilly and his hockey career, what can you tell us about him?
Ryan O'Reilly, he's a veteran centerman. He plays for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Flips that there to O'Reilly. Up for Marner, back to O'Reilly. Loose in for the backhand shot, scores! Ryan O'Reilly again. He's got two.
He is one of the most respected two-way players in the game. He's a tenacious player on offense, on defense. He's won the Selke Award as the best defensive forward in the league. He's won the Lady Byng Trophy as the most sportsmanlike player in the league. And he's also known as a winner straight up. In 2019, kind of was his crowning achievement. He won the Stanley Cup with the St. Louis Blues.
They did it! It's over! The game is over! The series is over! The wait is over! And the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions for the first time in franchise history!
And he won the Conn Smythe Trophy as the MVP of the playoffs, which is an extremely prestigious honor.
The Conn Smythe Trophy is awarded to the most valuable player in the playoffs. Ryan O'Reilly, come get the Conn Smythe Trophy.
Yeah, it's tough to describe, you know. The cup, you know, is, you know, the ultimate goal. And, you know, looking at the names on this thing and to be a part of that group, most of these guys on here, I pretended I was as a kid, and now to be, you know, on that with them, it's an incredible feeling.
What an incredible moment. And he had the opportunity to win that Stanley Cup in 2019, his first with his parents, Bonnie and Brian, in the stands to watch him in Game 7. What was that moment like for him?
It was incredible. I mean, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, that's what every kid dreams of, especially growing up in Canada like Ryan did. And, you know, his parents were in the stands. It was Game 7 in Boston. And Ryan actually spoke with his mom before the game and advised her not to wear any St. Louis Blues garb. And he was concerned about how it would go for her in the stands. But she said, the heck with that. And she was Blues decked out from head to toe for that game. And Ryan ended up scoring the opening goal in that game.
Comes on back now to Pietrangelo. Pietrangelo holding. Got it to Bouwmeester. Shoots one. Score! Bouwmeester! It was deflected in front by O'Reilly, and it becomes 1-0. The Blues with the lead.
And there's an unbelievable moment on video where Bonnie's reacting to the goal in the crowd. And then they were able to go down on the ice with Ryan afterwards to celebrate with him.
I'm just so proud. And we're just like, they've won the ultimate goal, what he's always wanted. I'm just so happy for him. It was amazing.
So it was an incredible individual achievement for Ryan and a great moment, but it's something they were to share as a family, I think, which made it even more special.
So I'm always jealous when pro athletes win championships and they get to bring them back home. That seems like the coolest thing ever. And Ryan had the opportunity to do that, that great tradition with the Stanley Cup, where every player gets their own private day with the cup. He brought his back to Seaforth, Ontario, and not just back to his hometown. He brought it back to the old hockey rink where he grew up. Why was that moment so important to him?
That's where his dream started. That's what he'll say, at that arena in Seaforth. He spent hours and hours and hours there as a kid. And that was mostly due to the kindness of the guy who ran the arena manager, a guy named Graham Nesbitt.
When they came here to be the manager, my goal was to help kids. If I can help someone else get somewhere where they want to be, I just made my mind up I was going to do it.
He would get out of bed early on school days and open the rink early for Ryan and his brother so they could come practice before school. He would allow Ryan to come to the rink on his lunch break from school and practice for free then. And he would also make sure the rink was open on snow days. And Graham would literally take a snowmobile from his house over to the arena to make sure it was open so Ryan and his brother and any kids from town that wanted to could come and play on the rink and just chase their passion, which is what Ryan did.
Gentle guy, kind. Yeah, I just loved the game. Loved being around the arena and just it was, you know, it was infectious. I think he loves hockey and he loves being in that environment and you can just feel it every time you're around him.
So we've got the O'Reilly family, classic hockey family. Their son Ryan grows up to become a Stanley Cup champion. And we've got Graham Nesbitt. The guy runs the local rink. He always made sure that Ryan and his family are able to get time on the ice whenever they wanted it. What do you think created that bond between Graham Nesbitt and the O'Reilly family? And how did that relationship evolve?
Well, you know, they shared a passion for hockey and Graham ran the arena in town and they knew each other that way. But Graham got a piece of news in 2019 that would change his life and would change the nature of their relationship forever. And it would set forth a series of events that are pretty unbelievable.
Never in a million years did I imagine that what has happened since March 3rd would have ever happened. Believe me.
Ryan O'Reilly has become a hero on the ice for hockey fans across St. Louis and now in Toronto. But his mom, Bonnie, became a hero in her own right when she made a choice that ended up saving the life of a beloved member of their hockey community. So today, Mike Farrell takes us inside Little Choices, his latest feature for E60, and he tells us all about the O'Reillys, their town, Seaforth, Ontario, and the rink manager whose generosity inspired generations of hockey players. I'm Myron Metcalf. It's Friday, May 12th, and this is ESPN Daily.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Mike Farrell, this is obviously an incredible story that you worked on and you focused mostly on the O'Reilly family. And they live in this place called Seaforth, Ontario. How would you describe Seaforth, Ontario to someone who's never been there?
It's kind of a prototypical small Canadian town. It's over 100 miles west of Toronto, so about like a 2 hour plus drive from Toronto. And less than 3,000 people live there. It's the kind of town that has one main street and an arena, you know, and just the nicest people that you could ever meet. So it's a proud hockey town. You know, Ryan O'Reilly is from Seaforth, but they've also produced a number of professional hockey players from Seaforth. They've had almost a dozen different professional hockey players that have come out of there.
It's such a community. People care about each other here, and I think it's why there is so many hockey players that come out of here, because it's just people care about each other. They want to see each other succeed, and just felt so Canadian.
So before Ryan O'Reilly becomes this NHL star, he was just a kid growing up in Seaforth. What was his childhood like?
Unique, to say the least. Ryan's family lived in an old converted schoolhouse that was built in 1909, and it had six bedrooms, and they needed every single one of those bedrooms because Ryan's parents ran a foster home out of the house for two decades. His mom, Bonnie, and his dad, Brian, were both social workers, and they ran a treatment foster home out of their house.
We were a treatment foster home, so we typically took adolescent or teenage kids, and most of the children came from families who had some struggles. I guess it just breaks my heart that some kids get a rough start to life, and I just felt that the good fortune I had, I could share.
So they had Ryan, his three siblings, and then they would have four or five foster kids living in the house with them at any one time. So there'd be eight or nine kids living together under one roof from all different walks of life, from all different kinds of situations. And, you know, as Ryan and his brother described it, it was busy, but it also afforded them the opportunity to have incredible sports games, and in particular hockey. They would play on the driveway, and they would play on a flooded piece of ice that Ryan's dad would do every winter.
Usually it would be a full five-on-five game with my dad playing. I remember my dad used to use a cushion, pillow cushion, as his jock, and just tape it around because he didn't trust any of the kids with their shot.
So an incredibly unique upbringing, one that I think shaped Ryan in particular deeply, being able to work with people from all different walks of life as a professional athlete, all different kinds of guys in the dressing room. He kind of grew up in that type of environment, and I think it's helped him as a professional hockey player in that regard.
It's clear he had a special bond with this special woman named Bonnie O'Reilly, his mother. How did he describe her?
He described her as...
She's probably the, you know, kindest, generous, most generous person I think I've ever known. She's just this ball of loving energy that just never stops.
She is a person, when you're around Bonnie O'Reilly, you want to be a better person. Just by the way she carries herself, by the way that she looks at life, it's kind of a contagious thing that she's so empathetic, always putting other people above herself, and in a sincere way. It's just a sincere love of other people and a sincere desire to help other people in need. And that's really defined her entire life from the time Ryan was a kid until now.
Mike, I'm in Minnesota, which is basically Canada's little brother. So I know that everybody has a hockey rink in this part of the country, and there's always a guy who's kind of in charge of that hockey rink that everybody goes to. He drives a Zamboni. He opens the doors in the morning. In Seaforth, that guy was Graham Nesbitt. What can you tell me about him?
Well, he didn't drive the Zamboni. He drove the Olympia. That's the rival brand for the Zamboni. So Graham is very staunch about that. He was not a Zamboni driver. He drove the Olympia. So let's make sure we have that straight. But, you know, Graham was a kind guy who ran the rink in town and who just loved hockey.
I just liked the arena business. It was fun. It was, you're busy. I know it's go, go, go 7 days a week, but that's what I'm passionate about, is making a good sheet of ice for everybody to use.
He loved being around the arena. He was very prideful in the fact that he turned that rink in Seaforth into what he called Hockey Central. He said everyone felt like they were going to the NHL when they would come to that arena, and he just loved it. It wasn't work for him. It was a joy to be around the rink to help kids.
The O'Reillys are always at the arena. Graham is always at the arena. I imagine they saw each other a lot. What was their relationship like when Ryan was a kid?
Yeah, the two families were close. They both had kids in hockey. They had that in common. They were friends with each other. And of course, Ryan and his brother, they had an insatiable appetite for playing hockey. They wanted to do it all the time. And so they would ask Graham to open the arena early for them on weekdays. So they would go to the arena before school and practice for a couple hours and then go to school. And Graham would get out of bed on a cold winter morning and go and open the rink at 6 a.m., which is 2 hours before it's supposed to open. And he would do that for them routinely. Brian O'Reilly, Ryan's dad, told us,
I would call Graham at 6 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, Graham, the kids want to go on the ice. Will you let them in? And of course, he'd say, absolutely. And he'd go over, get out of bed, cold morning, come over, open up the rink for us, turn on one light, and the boys would play for a couple hours.
And he would open the arena for them on their lunch break. He would open the arena for them on snow days when school was canceled because of snow. And so the O'Reillys had a deep appreciation for that gesture, seeing Graham as somebody who was helping their kids feed their passion and maybe one day, who knows, make their dream of becoming an NHL player come true.
Many times I pretended to have that cup in the arena where that dream started, and started with Graham being able to have a big heart like that and just, you know, letting some kids go out and do what they love.
Well, Graham definitely helped Ryan achieve his dream with all that time on the ice. Ryan grows up to become this star, one of the best two-way players in the game. In his 10th season, the St. Louis Blues win their cup, and he takes part in that. And now Graham is also going about his life when something happens that changes things. What happened with Graham?
So in the early 2000s, Graham was diagnosed with something called Berger's disease, which is a kidney disorder. It causes inflammation in the kidneys, which eventually leads to deterioration and dysfunction in the kidneys. There's no cure for it. It's a genetic disorder. But it was something he was able to manage for many years with good diet and good health habits. Eventually in 2019, he started gaining weight. He was retaining a lot of fluid and was feeling terribly, was feeling very sick.
When I was on the ice, I would be getting chilled. It was like I couldn't get warm. The feet would be cold. The body would be cold. And it was telling me, you know, holy smokes, how come I can't get warm?
He would vomit after meals, was just in really rough shape, and went in for a lot of testing. And eventually what they determined was that the disease had deteriorated his kidneys at that point to the point where he was operating at just 5% of their capacity. And so at that point, Graham Nesbitt, the arena manager, was in kidney failure.
How did the Nesbitts react to the diagnosis?
They were shocked. They were saddened by it. I think there was some desperation there. When you hear some of the statistics about people who are in kidney failure and what it means, it's pretty grim. You know, Graham was looking at a lifetime of dialysis, which is, you know, can be debilitating. Or he was hoping that he could get a transplant. He was put on the transplant list. And some of the statistics around people waiting for a kidney transplant are pretty tough. I mean, in North America, there's over 100,000 people currently right now waiting for a kidney transplant. The average wait time for a kidney is 3.5 years.
Wow.
And 13 people die every day waiting for a kidney. And so the Nesbitts were aware of those statistics, and I think there was some desperation to see how we could possibly solve this problem with his kidneys.
So what a turn in such a scary situation they're dealing with. What did the Nesbitts decide to do?
So Graham checked with his family and very close friends, and a bunch of people got tested, and unfortunately, none of them were an acceptable match. And so they decided to widen the donor search. Graham's son, Joe, who was good friends with Ryan and Ryan's brother, Cal, he enlisted the help of a kid at the local high school to make a video outlining Graham's situation and putting out a public call for donors.
This strong, dedicated man is failing before our eyes. The man that was there to open up the rink, sharpen your skates, volunteer countless hours, quietly teach you all life lessons is slowing. We need your help. We know this is a big ask, but to our family, it would be the ultimate gift. If you can find the courage to give, contact us. My dad cannot wait. You can make his life possible.
And they posted that on social media, and that got some pickup. And then Joe also reached out to the O'Reilly family to see if they could help amplify that message with their platform, being professional hockey players. And it was at that time that the O'Reillys first became aware that Graham was in poor health.
So Bonnie O'Reilly hears about Graham and his situation. They obviously have this relationship. What was her initial response?
When the O'Reilly family was made aware of Graham's health problems and the situation at hand, Bonnie O'Reilly said that her immediate response when she heard that he was sick and that he was looking for a kidney transplant was that she immediately thought back to Graham helping Ryan and helping her kids and getting up on those winter mornings to open the rink early for the boys so they could go practice.
I instantly thought back, wow, look at what he did for us. Look how he helped my kids when they were in need. And this need has presented itself to me. Maybe I can be the one who can help him.
After the break, Bonnie lends a helping hand and so much more to Graham Nesbitt.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So Bonnie decides that she wants to help and that she wants to do what she can for a man who's meant so much to her sons and their hockey careers. What does Bonnie do next?
She starts the testing process. She calls Graham and tells him that she's going to sign up to be a donor.
Bonnie O'Reilly called and she said she had put her name on the list to be a donor. I'm going to start the process and I'll keep you in the loop where I am.
I mean, it's one thing to sign up to start the testing process. It's another thing to go all the way through it and be a match. So there, at the beginning, there was no guarantee that anything was going to happen here. But Bonnie began the testing process. She was tested in terms of making sure that she was healthy enough to go through with this if she wanted to. They test the compatibility of her kidney with Graham's. And the whole thing went about 8 months long. She kept meeting all these benchmarks every step of the way and updating Graham. And every time she went in through a test, the results came back and it was good news. And eventually in November of 2020, she was told that, yes, she was a match.
Brian and I were driving in the car, and I got a call from the kidney department, and they said, you're a match, and we are going to allow you to call Graham to tell him. So I was just like yelling to Brian, it's a match, like I'm this is going to happen.
So you've got this woman who has raised her own family, has taken in numerous foster children, has been a staple in her community, and now decides to try to help save someone's life. We get to March 2021. Graham and Bonnie undergo surgery for this transplant to take place. What was the result?
It was an overwhelming success. Graham tells a story about how, you know, they were sitting there in the side-by-side hospital beds, and there was this curtain between them, and the surgery team was asking him all kinds of questions.
It's just so unbelievable when you're actually there, and it's about to start. They're asking questions. They asked me, have you ever met your donor? And she says, yes, we know each other.
And they pulled the curtain back and they were able to see each other and went in for surgery. The surgery took 3 hours. They took the kidney out of Bonnie and put it in Graham, and it started working instantaneously. And he woke up later that day and said it was incredible how he felt better right away almost. You know, he was 63 at the time of the surgery, and he said he felt like a 45-year-old when he woke up. So he was feeling mighty good.
The humanity of this woman to go out of her way to do something like this is just so amazing and so profound to me. How are they both doing today?
They're both doing great. Bonnie says that if she didn't know that they took the kidney out of her, she wouldn't be able to tell a difference.
I don't think about it at all. In fact, if they didn't tell me they took it out, I wouldn't know. Like, even though there's an adjustment going on, nothing seems to have changed for me. I do joke that I'm not running as fast as I was last summer, and I'm blaming it all on that.
She runs routinely in the summertime. She's very active and athletic. She's fit as a fiddle. And for Graham, everything is looking up for him.
Everything's going in the right direction. I feel great. I feel terrific. The endurance is coming back. Getting to do regular things again.
He's been going for regular checkups and regular tests, and everything's going in the right direction. He's golfing. He's getting his golf game back in order. He exercises in their basement. He rides his bike. Again, very active and feeling great. So by all accounts, both Bonnie and Graham are in great health, and the transplant has been an unequivocal success.
That's such a beautiful story, man. And meshes Graham and what he did for Ryan and that family. And then to return the gesture with something like that. And I'm glad it worked out for both of them. How did Graham and the Nesbitt family, which I'm sure they felt so grateful, how did they honor Bonnie?
Graham has said that
there's nothing I can say, nothing I can do that is ever going to be enough to say thank you to Bonnie and the rest of the O'Reilly family.
But, you know, he tried to do that the best way that he knows how, and that's by going back to the rink. And when they installed the ice at the arena the first year after the transplant, he had a decal and a message painted onto the ice, which read that the O'Reilly family are champions in life. And so that logo sat at the blue line of the arena for the entire season. And it was a way for Graham to try to honor Bonnie and the O'Reillys. It was a way for him to say thank you. And it brought it all back to that building. You know, the arena in a small town like Seaforth is more than just a sheet of ice. It's a gathering place. It's a place where people come together, where a community is built. And I think that for these two families, this building has meant the difference between life and death. And I think it's a beautiful story about a small town and two families who were just looking out for each other.
I hope Graham adds himself to that list because he's clearly a champion of life as well. At the end here, I want to go back to something that Brian O'Reilly said in this incredible piece.
All great changes in life are because choices people make. It's those little choices that allow for the opportunity for people to succeed.
Bonnie O'Reilly's little choice, her incredible choice, her life-saving choice, saved Graham Nesbitt's life after he had given so much to the O'Reilly family and that entire community. What do their actions say to you, not only about who they are as people, but about Seaforth and the hockey family in that town and the beauty and power of sports?
I think it's just about people caring for each other. This whole story is about selflessness. And in sports, you're taught to put the team before yourself. And I think that this is an example of families and people putting their community before themselves and putting others before themselves. The title of the documentary is Little Choices. And that quote from Brian O'Reilly is profound, but it's interesting because I think a lot of people might hear this story and say, well, Graham opened the arena for Ryan and his brothers. That's not the same thing as donating an organ. Like, those are not the same thing, right? Like, one was a nice thing to do. The other was like a life-saving gesture. And they are not the same. But for Bonnie and her family, they are the same. They look at those as the same thing. And they look at it as a need presented itself and a need was met. Ryan and his brother wanted to practice relentlessly. Graham, he met that need by opening the rink early for them. And Graham later needed a kidney transplant to save his life. There was a need that was presented, and Bonnie met that need by donating her kidney and saving his life. So they really look at it the same way.
She told me because I had helped her kids attain their goals, I played a part in their success, that she said she was going to pay it forward and help me out. And I was just like, that's unbelievable.
And I think that just speaks to the incredible nature of the O'Reilly family, just, and Bonnie in particular, just being somebody who is wired to help others, to put others before herself, instinctually almost. And it's admirable and inspiring to hear her story and to be around her. She's an incredible woman.
My role model would have been my mom, and she always told us it's better to give than receive and to try to make everyone else's life a little better than it is. So I like to keep that in my mind and in my life, that I try to help where there's a need.
Wow, man. I mean, it's been an honor just to have this conversation with you about this incredible family and gesture. Thank you, Mike, for your time and contribution.
Thanks, Myron.
I'm Myron Metcalf, son of Barbara Metcalf. And this has been ESPN Daily. Before we head into the weekend, instead of our typical credits where we list names of our producers and staff, we wanted to give credit to the real producers of ESPN Daily, our moms. Louisa Benson Craig, Pamela Epps, Dr. Cassandra Hyacin, Marion Johns, Judy Lombardo, Tammy Majette, Sally Nantel, Martha Philbrick, Lydia Soto, Aileen Tennant, Anna Maria Tuminello, and Annette Vale. Happy Mother's Day to all those great mothers of our wonderful production staff and the people behind this great podcast. And one last thing, we also want to send best wishes to one of our own, Chris Tuminello, as he walks off into the sunset, arm in arm with Mr. Met. Chris, best of luck on all of your future endeavors. Try to avoid any darkness retreats, and we will definitely miss you. We'll talk to you on Monday.